Just a couple of days ago, my sister Valerie and I, we were driving back home from Belgium. We had been spending a week down in France and Belgium on our epic World War I battlefield tour. And we were coming home and we were stuck in traffic going around London on the M25, which is probably the worst road in Britain. Anyway, we were sitting in traffic and I said, "Hey Val, why don't we fire up that episode that I did with Jeff Judd last week?" So we listened to that while we were stuck in traffic, and you know, we had a good conversation about it because we lived a lot of the stuff that Jeff and I were talking about in last week's episode. And if you haven't heard that one yet, you really need to go back and listen because it's funny, but yet it's also very poignant as well, because a lot of Jeff's stories that we talk about growing up in fundamentalism, growing up in a very evangelical fundamentalist Christian high school, and talking about our mutual friend Bob, who I'm hoping to have on this podcast. I'm still chasing him up, so hopefully at some point we'll get him on here. But we were talking about a lot of the funny, crazy stories around evangelicalism, around this crazy Christian high school. And, you know, we just kind of had a good laugh about it, some of the funny stories. But on the other hand, Val and I were reflecting. We were saying, you know, this was our life. This was our life growing up too. We experienced many of the same kind of things. We weren't allowed to have a television. We weren't allowed to listen to secular rock and roll music. And Jeff and I, in today's episode, we're going to finish up our conversation from last week, where we're going to get into some more crazy, funny stories. Again, though, they are kind of like I said last week, we're laughing through the tears in a way, because now that I look back on my life, and I'm starting to process all the stuff that I went through as a kid, as a teenager, as a young adult, growing up in fundamentalism, growing up with parents who were committed to the Bill Gothard nonsense. And we were raised in this sort of environment where we were sheltered from the world and we were being protected by the umbrella of God's protection and all the Bill Gothard theology. It really messed us up in a huge way. We've got psychological issues, emotional issues, relational issues in terms of sexuality. Evangelicalism, fundamentalism has caused a lot of damage, certainly in my life, my sister's life, and so many other people. And this is what we want to talk about in today's episode. We've got some funny stories coming your way in just a few minutes, so stay tuned for the second half of the conversation with me and Jeff Judd that I recorded when I was recently in Seattle. Now, speaking of Seattle, if you're in the area, if you are an ex-evangelical, if you're a fan of this show or a fan of Stacey Ray, the author, then you want to come out to our live podcast recording on the 16th of September. Space is extremely limited. It's a pretty small little recording studio. My friend Big Steve is going to hook us up in the East Hill area of Kent. On Sunday, the 16th of September, we're going to meet about 10:30 in the morning and then aim to start recording at 11. And then we're going to go to lunch afterwards at a nearby Mexican restaurant on East Hill in Kent. So if you can make it, please come out. Let me know. I've actually created a post on the Ex-Evangelical Facebook page. We created an event there, so there's more information. You can also send me a message on Twitter at MindShift2018. You can get a hold of me that way or a variety of other ways as well, which are also in the show notes. So if you can't make it to that recording, if you're not in the Pacific Northwest area, and I know a lot of people are coming in for the Derek Webb gig the night before on the 15th, so we're kind of timing it to coincide with that. But if you're not in the area, if you live in another part of the country or another part of the world, there's still a way to participate in the recording. You can send me a question or a topic that you'd like us to discuss. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be interviewing Stacey Ray for a little bit, and then we're going to interact with your questions, your topics. We're going to interact with the audience. So it's going to be a great recording. Again, if you can't make that, please send us your questions. And just so you know, the best question that we get from our listeners will receive a prize. So definitely you want to participate in sending us your question or topic. It's going to be put out as a podcast episode later on, probably around sometime in October. So never fear if you miss this gig. We're going to be putting it out as a podcast, so you'll be able to listen to it. It might be two, maybe even three parts long, depending on how long it goes. If we have a good interaction with the audience and with Stacey, who knows, it might be a couple of hours worth of recording. So it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to that on the 16th of September. Also, before I get to the conversation with Jeff, I just want to mention about some of the upcoming guests I've got on this show. I've got Chris Stroop in the next week. We're going to do two episodes with Chris, followed by David Hayward, the Naked Pastor. So that is, we had some just fantastic conversations. I've already done the recordings for these shows, and let me tell you, they are amazing. They're great. We get into some just unbelievable conversations. And I will say, for both Chris Stroop and David Hayward, this is something I've been doing lately, and that is I've been recording my pre-interview conversation with the guests that I'm having. And I'm going to make that available for people who support the show on Patreon. You can listen to those bonus recordings with Chris Stroop and then next month with David Hayward. I've also got Cindy Wang Brandt coming on the show, as well as Dr. Josie McSkimming from Australia. So there's going to be some fantastic content headed your way over the next few weeks and months. So stay tuned. Don't miss Chris Stroop, David Hayward, Cindy Wang Brandt, Dr. Josie McSkimming. And also, me and my sister Valerie are going to do a follow-up recording before she goes home to Seattle. So that's also coming up as well from our podcast that we did last year when Valerie was visiting me here on The Rock about surviving a fundamentalist upbringing. It's almost exactly 1 year to the minute, really. So this is going to be really good. We are going to be talking about how things have changed in both of our lives since we did that recording last year. All right, so let's go on into it. Without further ado, let's get into part two. Last time we finished up, Jeff was telling a story about how he and Bob broke into the school and changed the high school annual that was about to come out. And I said they never came after me because, of course, I was a good kid. But as it turns out, maybe I wasn't so good. We're going to find out some crazy, insane stories. Growing up evangelical, you just cannot make this shit up. Here it is with Jeff Judd, part two. I was a pretty good kid for a while there. I did a lot of stuff. Well, same thing. I did a lot of stuff where the school didn't know about it. Because, of course, you weren't supposed to drink. That was another big thing. Because when I was about to graduate, I did graduate from that particular school. About 2 weeks before I graduated, a bunch of my classmates got in trouble for having one beer at a party. One beer.
Me and the assistant principal at the time, his son, me and him used to go smoke at lunchtime. Remember the old trailer by the Star?
Yeah, we had portables and everything.
Yeah. No, over by the, remember that Star grocery store?
Oh, yeah. There was a little store a couple blocks from the school.
There was an abandoned trailer over by in the woods. We used to go over there and smoke. Me and the assistant principal's son are over there smoking.
Yeah.
And we get caught. That wasn't good.
That was not good. Well, these guys, somebody ratted them out. There was, I think, five of these guys. They weren't allowed to go through the graduation ceremony.
No way, because they drank one beer.
They had a beer. And I was actually at that party. I remember being there with my friend, Guy. He and I showed up at
Guy
the party.
Guy Shepherd.
Yeah, his name was Guy Shepherd. We showed up at this party. And they said, hey, do you guys want a beer? And the only reason I didn't drink it was because at the time, I just didn't like beer.
Right.
I didn't drink beer then. So I said, I passed on it. If I'd had a sip of that beer, I'd have been in trouble too. They shit-canned all these guys. They were going to kick them out of the school.
No way.
That was their
no
first.
No way.
Yeah. They said, it was 2 weeks before graduation. All of us were seniors. They said, we're going to kick all these guys out of school for violating the school drinking policy. After this big to-do, they finally realized...
Did you have to sign a...
Yeah, oh yeah, we signed a contract.
Really?
And everything. Yeah, you can't drink, smoke, go with girls that do, and all the rest of it. And these guys ended up, they said, you can graduate, but you can't go through to the ceremony.
Right.
So they got their diplomas, basically, but they weren't allowed to go through the graduation.
Wow, that's
which, of course, in America, graduation high school is a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
In like where we live in Britain, they don't even... There's no graduation.
What?
You just get handed your diploma at some point, and that they do a little service thing for some of the parents.
But it's not a big huge.
It's not a big thing like America.
Wow. Yeah, so I got kicked out of this so-called school, and I left and went to public school, which is a bit...
bit different?
Yeah. I mean, the school we went to was probably... It was a medium-sized school, I would say. Yeah, I went to a very large public high school, and it was kind of scary, but...
We only had, it was about 300 students, 9 through 12, I think, at our little Christian school. So here you are going to a school that's got thousands of people.
My graduating class was 1,500.
Yeah, so that's four times the size of our entire school at this little Christian school. But the thing is, you were telling me the other day, you weren't totally done with the whole churchy thing, even though you got kicked out of the school for blowing up masturbator's toilet. You went to a shall we say, a somewhat charismatic church. You told me a story about there's a particular preacher in this Seattle area very well known for being, let's say, sort of the health and wealth gospel, hyper-charismatic.
Can I mention his name?
I think you should, yeah.
So it's funny because I met him at this so-called school.
That's right. They actually started
in the gym.
At our school.
And that's where I remember me and Bob were walking down the hall, and this guy, we heard this something. We looked in the gym, and here's this guy. And he goes, "You guys want to hear my sermon?" And I'm like, "Okay." You know, and so we sit down, and he gives this sermon. So he stops, and he goes, "What'd you guys think?" And I'm just like, "Wow." And he goes, "Let me tell you something." And this guy was young. I mean, he was probably mid-20s, you know. And he goes, "I'm going to be selling God." And he goes, "Mark my words." He goes, "People will buy it. I will become a very, very rich man." And that's what he told me at that point. And this man was Pastor Casey Treat.
Casey Treat. Yeah, Christian Faith Center.
Yes.
They started at our high school. I can remember that too. That now that I recall that, you say, because I remember going in there after soccer practice and seeing hundreds and hundreds of chairs being set up. On like a Wednesday night at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I'm going, "What's going on in here?" Turns out it was the beginnings of Christian Faith Center. And so where's Casey Treat today? He is indeed a mega star, mega pastor.
Owns a helicopter that he flies between his churches.
Yeah, he's that big. So you went, but you went to Casey Treat's church.
So years later, point, didn't you? Yeah, now he has this, you know, huge mega church in Federway. Yeah. It's, you know, you probably hold 10,000 people. It's huge. And so a couple friends of ours were going there. I don't know if you remember. I don't know if you know Rob Filler.
I don't remember him.
Okay. You might know. There's a bunch of friends of ours that went there. And so a couple people invited me to go there. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'll go check it out, you know. So I went by myself. I didn't bring my family, you know. So I just go there. And I'm sitting there. And as soon as I walk in, these two guys in suits just whoop right behind me, right?
Did they have sunglasses too?
Yes. And earpieces.
Like Secret Service.
So they follow me, right? And they just follow me. I sit down, and one guy sits on one side of me, and one guy sits on the other side of me, right? And I'm just like, okay.
This is church, huh?
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, and they're just, you know, looking at me, you know, and I'm listening, and I'm like, okay, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it gets over, and then Casey Treats gets down, and he walks, and he goes in this little room. And the guy goes, he whispers over, he goes, "Casey Treat wants to talk to you." I'm like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, how'd you like the sermon?" I'm like, "Yeah, it was okay. You're going to come back?" I go, "I don't know, man." He goes, "Well, Casey wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to me."
Yeah.
Okay. So we go in this little room, and I swear to God, it's 4x5 room.
Closet.
A wooden table and a light. That's it. So it's like a grilling room.
Yeah, it's something
I walk in there, I'm like, "No way, we're in Mexico." You know?
Yeah.
And Casey Treat's sitting at the end of the table. He's just sitting there in a very nice suit, you know, and he's just sitting there waiting. And I sit down, and he goes, "Hello there, I'm Casey Treat." And I go, "Yeah, I know. We met before and you looked at me really weird. I didn't want to tell the story."
You didn't tell the story of
that. So he shook my hand and he goes, "So, I saw you come in and sit down and, you know, I know everyone here. I don't know you." I'm like, "Oh." I go, "Well, I know you." And he goes, "Really?" "Yeah." And he goes, "So, are you gonna come here?" And I go, "I don't know." He goes, "Well, here's what we're gonna talk about." He goes, "Tithing." "Okay." He goes, "I'm going to need your W-2. I'm like, "What?
You need my wage statements.
I'm going to need your W-2 because everyone here tithes, and this is how it's done. It, you know, it says in the Bible it's 10%. We take 10% and we do direct deposit."
Of course you do.
I'm like,
they take it right off the top.
Yes. And I'm like, "No, I don't carry my W-2 with me." And no, you're not getting it.
You're not going to see it.
Yeah. So I get up and he goes, "Where are you going?" And I'm like, "I'm leaving." Because no and no.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. And they followed me to my car and watched me leave.
You're not welcome back, Jeff.
It was like going to a mob meeting.
It's crazy.
It was.
It's more like a cult than anything else, isn't it? You look at it from the outside.
It's so weird because, these people, you couldn't even imagine the love that these people have.
Oh, yeah. They worship the guy.
They don't worship God.
And it's,
they worship Casey Treat.
That's a very common thing, isn't it? I mean, look at what happened to Jim Jones and other big figures like that. You know, they start these movements, really, and they're just worshipped and they're adored by their followers. And it's a cult. It's a total cult.
Oh, yeah.
People give their money. I mean, people sold their houses and gave everything to the church when they were doing the Jim Jones thing.
Oh, yeah.
So the same kind of stuff is going on now. It's big businessmen, evangelicalism, and the prosperity gospel and everything else.
Talking about selling your house.
Oh, yes. Here comes another story. Back to our high school days.
Yes, we had a couple. One was a history teacher, and the other one was the Bible and the choir teacher.
Yes, I was in choir, and I had history from this guy, too. Yeah. So I know who you're talking about.
And they were he was a very different fellow.
We could say that, yeah. Well, he used to dress up real nice.
Oh, yeah, wore really nice suits, like Armani suits and stuff.
3B suit to a little Christian high school.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember he had to have a cross pen. If he didn't have a cross pen, he wasn't writing that day.
Right. He was just going to sit there and not write anything.
Yeah. So anyways, after, you know, it's probably been, 30-some years more that I've seen this guy. No, this was about 20 years ago. I run into him at Staples.
Right. It's like an office supply store.
Yeah, yeah. And he's trying to sell office supplies back to them, right?
So stuff he's returning or trying to return.
Yeah, I hear the conversation and I'm like, man, I recognize that voice, you know?
I know this guy.
So I look over there, I'm like, oh man, it is him.
It's him.
And he turns around, he goes, hey Jeff, how's it going? And he goes, are you ready? Ready for, this was right before the year 2000.
Yeah,
so
Y2K was coming up.
Right. So
everything was going to break down.
Are you ready? He goes, I'm getting ready right now. I'm like, ready for what? He goes, ready for God. I'm like, okay.
So
he goes, yeah. He goes, we've sold our house. I'm selling all our stuff. I've sold the cars. He goes, and we're going to go out. They basically joined another little cult. And they were going to go out in this field and wait for God, right?
So Jesus was supposed to return on Y2K, wasn't
yes.
it? At precisely midnight.
Yes.
They were going to meet him in a field.
They actually sold everything and their clothes because they got in like sheets or whatever, and they were waiting.
They weren't naked in a field.
You didn't have to be clothed because...
Well, yeah, you're going to go to heaven, and what do you need
naked.
Clothes for? You're going to be lounging on a cloud playing a harp. What do you need clothes for? Let me guess this. This return of Jesus didn't happen.
No.
So I'm shocked.
Miraculously, Y2K came. Everything
and went.
Everything.
Nothing.
No computers broke down. Everything went fine.
Planes didn't fall out of the sky and everything else.
Right. So about 10 years later, I'm at Red Robin, and I hear this birthday party, right?
Yeah.
Boom, boom. And I go, God, I recognize that voice, man. And I look over, and it's his wife's birthday. Right? And I'm just like, oh, man, I got to, you know.
I got to say something.
So I go down there and I go, hey, Mr. blah, 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 Mrs. blah. I go, how's it going there? And he did not want to talk to me, right? And he's like, oh, hey. And she's all, hey, Jeff, whatever. And I'm like, man, God must have not liked you guys.
Yeah. How was that Y2K?
How'd that work out for you?
Jesus returning thing.
So he tells me that they stood out there for 3 days.
You kidding me?
No, finally, everyone left, but they were the last two left. And
they were the last holdouts.
They were waiting. And
3 days in a field. It's like the Great Pumpkin and Charlie Brown.
It's coming.
You know, Linus is out there every Halloween waiting for the Great Pumpkin. He never shows up.
I'm telling you.
It's coming. 3 days in a field.
But, so this isn't my only interaction with this fellow.
You've had more encounters with this guy.
Yes. So, my ex-wife's grandmother died, right?
Right.
This has been about 10 years ago. So, she dies and everything. We're down to the funeral. So, we go to the funeral. And it's a little funeral there.
Right.
No one's there but us. It's, you know, me, her mom and dad.
Small family thing.
And so we go in there and just sit there on the bench. And I hear from behind me, Jeffrey Judd. And I'm like, oh, man.
There's that voice again.
You know that voice.
You got to stop going places.
I know. So I turn around and it's this fellow again.
Again.
Now he's dressed up. He is a Jesuit priest.
Oh, he's a bishop now.
Yes. And so he's in his garb and everything. And I'm just like, what happened to you?
That field must have treated him right.
Right. And so he's explaining what he did and all that, you know, all this stuff. And I'm like, wow. And he goes, so my kids are sitting there next to me, right? And he goes, man, I got to tell you guys. He goes, your dad was one of my favorite students. And I'm just like,
no way.
What?
The kid who blew up the principal's toilet?
Yeah. And he's
sitting there. Had a Loverboy album?
Yeah. He's sitting there telling me how I was his favorite student. And
no
Bob, him and Bob, me and Bob. And I'm just like, shut the
hell up. No way.
Yeah. And so he gives the sermon and all this stuff. And he's just, you know, sugar is just dumping out of his mouth. And he leaves and stuff. And my kids are like, oh, that must have been an awesome guy. No.
Let me tell you the story.
Yeah, let me tell you the real story.
Wow. Well, I'm thinking too, I'm kind of curious. This is something I've done a lot of work on is how fundamentalism and evangelicalism has affected people.
Oh, yeah.
How would you say that it has affected you, your upbringing in this, you know, well, church me, and the sort of school?
Like I said, I didn't grow up.
Yeah, you didn't grow up.
I saw it from, and I didn't buy it.
You were exposed to it, though, and it clearly affected you.
The way I saw it is like, okay, these people are, like, I thought Bob was completely in a cult.
Well, he basically was.
Yes. And the first school I went to was not that, it was pretty lenient. It wasn't as bad as the other school.
Even though it was very small.
Yes, we were allowed to do a lot more than, but the other school was a lot, but my school really didn't bother me because I could pretty much get away with what I wanted.
Yeah, take it or leave it.
But my general thing on was Bob and his church, and it was him. He lost his faith. His sister has lost his faith. His brother's lost his faith, and they've walked away because of all the stuff that has happened, you know, from...
That's true, yeah. I've talked to Bob a lot on Facebook Messenger when he does get on it.
Right.
In fact, we were supposed to have a podcast recording. He was just up here in the Seattle area a couple weeks ago. You got together with him for a bit, I guess.
Yeah, I saw him last Thursday.
For some reason or another, we couldn't connect, but I'm going to do a recording via Skype, I think. So when I get back home to Great Britain, I will connect up with Bob because I want to hear his side of the story as well.
Well, he also
he was raised in such a fundamentalist thing.
He also became a youth pastor at his church. And that's when he said that's when it really, really hit him. You know, he's like, I'm supposed to be, he couldn't do it anymore, you know?
Well, I think you told me some stories about it. I mean, maybe we'll get into that when I talk to Bob, but he got in trouble at his church. The funny thing is I sort of lost track with Bob because he didn't finish at our Christian high school either, did he?
No, he went to
He didn't graduate. But then I came in touch with him years later because he was playing in like a Christian rock band and he had super long hair and he'd clearly, you know, gotten away from the fundamentalist thing. But he was still very much as a Christian though.
Right.
I mean, he didn't look like a fundamentalist.
Right. Oh,
in other words,
yeah.
He had long hair and
he was actually getting rock more into it then.
But yeah, weirdly enough, he was the band thing.
Right.
But you know, I was playing in Christian metal bands. So for me, I saw it as playing rock and metal was a way to, you know, reach people for with the message of Jesus just in the metal and rock culture. So I think, I don't know if that was his vision too, but that was very much.
But that's when he actually, we didn't talk for a couple of years because I couldn't even deal with it.
You just couldn't go there.
Oh, no. So I knew with Bob, it's just, that's the way it was. So when we used to ride to school, it was like, so 1 week I would drive, 1 week he would drive, you know, we'd pick each other up. So I knew when he'd come to my house to pick me up first, we'd have to pray before we left.
Oh, of course you do.
And then all the way to school, there was going to be a sermon of all the bad shit that I might have done the night before or something he might have heard about.
Before,
and then, of course, if we were taking my car, I have cigarette butts in the ashtray.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're smoking.
Yes, that was...
That's a sermon right there.
Every time. There was this guy. It's so funny because this guy, this Mexican guy, his name was Maz. Maz was in my car, So all these years, Maz was miraculously smoking in my car.
It wasn't me.
That was Maz.
It was him, blaming it on the guy that doesn't exist.
I just knew, like, okay, I'm getting ready for school. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to get in the car. We're going to have to pray.
Here comes the sermon.
Oh, every time I went to Bob's parents' house for dinner, his dad would make me pray.
I'm guessing it was kind of like that scene from Meet the Parents.
Yes.
Three things we pray.
I didn't know what to do.
Fake your way through it.
Oh, yeah. And then when his dad would pray, he'd be sitting
20-minute prayer.
Oh, he'd be sitting there telling how you know, he's famished, he's starving, you know, his heart's about to stop because he's so hungry.
Yeah,
then you get there, 20-minute prayer, and we're just
cover all the bases.
Oh, man, what the hell?
I think that's the thing, isn't it? Is you see your friends. Okay, so it didn't affect you directly, but indirectly it did.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're seeing him, you know, have to deal with fundamentalism and parents.
Years later, he told me, I never heard his dad tell him I love him. He told me his dad has told him that once.
One time.
And he's 51 years old.
Right. I think my dad may have told me one or two times, but it was really awkward to get it out.
Right.
Part of it is a generational thing, I think, but... Yeah, that generation did not express
their
feelings.
They didn't interact at all.
Yeah, they don't have a good relationship.
Now, me and my dad, the first night Bob came to my house, my dad ripped him off the couch and wrestled with him.
Right, yeah, his dad would never do that.
And Bob was freaking out because he thought my dad was going to kick his ass. Because what the hell did I do? We're just playing around, man.
Yeah, that's what we do, yeah.
Yeah.
So you had a more liberal, open kind of parenting situation.
Right, I could... I could tell my parents anything.
Yeah. Unlike,
it's like, dude, I got slipped acid. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. they didn't freak out. And I hear this from so many people, what we call the ex-evangelical community, ex-evangelicals who've come out of that kind of stuff. I mean, you talk about sexuality, emotions, psychological damage, purity culture nonsense, on and on. Yeah, and it's messed up. Their lives are so screwed up. Our lives are so screwed up as a result of
the bullshit
that we were handed. Because that's the thing. We didn't know any different, man. I was raised in it just like our friend Bob.
Right.
That was the normal.
And you weren't allowed to see the outside world.
Yeah, we were sheltered from the world. We didn't have a TV. The only TV we were allowed to watch was the Muppet Show.
The evil Muppets.
No, they were the only good show.
Yeah.
We could go walk up the street to my grandmother's house, sit and watch at 7 o'clock. So we left at 6:55.
Right.
Because it took 5 minutes. We'd get there at 7. She'd turn on the Muppet Show. 30 minutes. And then we had to be home by 7:35.
Wow.
And if we were any later than that, we'd get that same kind of spanking that Bob got. That was the only TV that we were allowed to watch, and it was a big deal to run up there on a Friday night and watch the Muppet Show. We had no secular rock and roll, no music, you know, no TV. It was total shelter.
Bob came to me one time, and he goes, hey, you want to go to a concert?
You were asking me to go to a concert.
Sweet. What is it? The Imperials.
Oh, yes. Probably the most.
I didn't know who they were. I didn't know.
White bread, Christian.
Oh, it was so bad. And he was so excited.
I remember the Imperials.
So we go there, and I'm just, you know, I'm like, okay, well, even if it's a Christian rock band, it'll be, you know.
At least it's rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, no.
How bad can it be?
Oh, no. It was bad.
It was bad.
Hours of bad.
Yeah, I know. My mom used to drag me to those gigs, man. Well, I grew up listening to Christian country gospel.
What?
Yeah.
There's that?
That's a thing, man. And it's always been a thing.
Really?
Yeah, my dad, the only music...
I thought regular country was gospel.
No, country's evil.
Oh, okay.
Come on, Jeff. You should know this by now.
I know that.
Country's evil. Country gospel's okay because they're singing about Jesus and everything. Yeah. So we used to go every year. There was this one Christian country gospel outfit that would come and they would do a concert in North Seattle at a church. And my dad would drag us all, and he would take his little cassette recorder
and record it,
and record the show. And he'd have a little microphone that he would hold up, and he would hit play and record at the same time. And he'd have his little portable cassette player that ran on batteries, and he would record this Christian country gospel band. And that was what we were allowed to listen to, stuff like that, or classical music. That was okay too. But yeah, we couldn't listen to rock and roll, and I can tell you many crazy stories, but I mean, we got in so much trouble for having, if my mom came home and found that we hadn't switched the radio station back to the Christian radio station, we'd get spanked because we'd been listening to rock and roll while she was out at the store. And so we'd run to the radio to turn it back to the Christian station when we saw our car coming down the driveway. And if we didn't get there fast enough, we got caught, we got spanked.
Remember,
that's how crazy it was.
I spent the night at Bob's one night. I usually spent the weekend there, you know. So I remember I went out that Friday after school and I got AC/DC, If You Want Blood, right? Remember, it's got the guitar going through and blood and all that stuff.
Yeah. And that's clearly evil. Look at the album cover.
I was really excited about it, you know. So I didn't go back home because I went to Bob's house with this album, you know. I'm like, dude, we got to listen to this, you know, and he didn't have a record player. So we went down to the living room.
Good stereo. Oh, no.
And listened to AC/DC.
You defiled the record player with AC/DC.
We put the devil in the stereo.
You did. He's living in the speakers, Jeff. Come on, man.
Oh, his dad came running out. And he's just, you can imagine the look on his face.
The horror, the shock.
What is this? And he's looking at Bob, and Bob's like, I don't know what it is.
It's Jeff's album, man.
Jeff's the devil.
You're the devil incarnate.
I'm sitting there holding the album cover, right? And his dad grabs it, and here's Angus Young with a guitar going through him, and there's blood all over the stage, and he just goes, Bob, I need to talk to you upstairs.
Oh, no. Another spanking.
Yep, he got a spanking. And I put the devil in the stereo.
Did he take your album away from you, though?
No, I was told never to bring it back, though.
I'm surprised you didn't get kicked out of there. I can't believe he let you back in the house. Especially
after
that.
I basically lived there. It was awesome.
Good God.
Oh,
I mean, you seem to have this thing with albums, you know, rock and roll albums, getting you in trouble.
I had this Ozzy Osbourne shirt, right?
Oh, no. Well, he's clearly of the devil.
Well, so it had him on the front, and he had some sort of meat coming out of his mouth. There was blood all over the front, you know?
Yep.
And
I
so
remember it.
It was like a baseball jersey. Remember those? Yeah.
Yep.
So
I do.
I used to wear it underneath my regular shirt at this other school because we couldn't wear that kind of.
Oh, no.
So after school, I just whipped this shirt off.
And there's Ozzy.
Yeah.
Ozzy has been with you all day.
Yeah. Man. So I didn't even think about it.
Right next to your heart.
I didn't even think about it. We get to the driveway and I'm like, oh, screw this. And I whip it off, right? And we get to the door and Bob turns around and horror, right?
The shock.
And his mom opens the door and Bob's just staring at me like,
oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Put the Ozzy shirt away. It's too late then.
I had to call my mom and have her bring me another shirt.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding me?
So my mom
no.
My mom was like, what? I'm like, can you bring me another shirt? Why? What are you wearing? I go, my Ozzy shirt.
It's the Ozzy shirt.
And she goes, yeah. I go, well, I need another shirt. Why? Because I can't wear the Ozzy shirt.
Oh, come on.
And I'm looking at Bob's mom like, she doesn't get it.
I got nothing.
I know. I'm sorry. just bring another shirt. My mom's like, why? My mom bought it to me.
Understand.
My mom bought it for me for Christmas.
No.
That was my Christmas
present.
Your
mom's evil too, then.
I know.
Your whole family's evil, Jeff. Come on.
Ozzy shirt for Christmas.
An Ozzy shirt for Christmas, man. Best Christmas ever. Ozzy for Christmas, man. You gotta be kidding. You cannot make this shit up.
I know.
You can't. So we got hair codes, we got dress, you can't wear shirts.
Another time, I just didn't understand the strictness of his parents. I didn't know his sister wore glasses, right? Me and Bob are on the porch talking, and his sister comes out, and she goes, they had a big thermometer, right? What's the temperature? There's big-ass numbers,
yeah,
right?
Can't miss it.
And, you know, we're like 14, 15, smart-ass. I'm like, look at it. What's the temperature? It's right there.
Can't see it.
So she shuts the door, comes out again. What's the temperature? Barb, it's freaking right here. I didn't know she wore glasses, right?
Yeah, so she literally couldn't
see it. Her dad comes out, grabs Bob, goes upstairs, gives him a beating because I was barraging his sister about not wearing glasses that I didn't know that she wore.
Gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, so he was gone for like an hour, right? I'm like, what the hell? So I go
Where
up
is
to
he gone?
So I go up to his room and he comes in, you know, you gotta leave my sister alone. What the hell? You got a spanking for
what? What did
what?
I do?
Well, we're not allowed to talk that way. You weren't talking that way. I was.
I can't believe they let you in their house. I really can't. If I was a parent, I wouldn't let you in there.
They let the devil in.
They let the devil in. Well, listen, man, this has been great, Jeff. This has been a fantastic conversation.
Oh,
I love talking
awesome.
About all this stuff. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet in a way, I think, because it's funny. But yet, what we're actually describing
right.
is horrifying.
Oh, it's true, too.
It's freaking horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
And we lived this shit. We did it, man. This was our upbringing. Maybe you not so much, but the
oh,
stuff.
Oh, no, I saw it from the outside
I
in.
Mean, you saw it and looked at it and like, what the hell?
I didn't get it.
And yet, here we were, kids in that context, and it was the normal. It was normal.
Right.
And now, people like me, people like Bob, we're looking back on it and going, my God, we've got a lot of work to do. To get healed up from this stuff,
Bob
from the
told
therapy
his,
and everything else.
Bob told Bob that he cannot go to college. Bob had a full ride to go to college, right?
Right.
You don't need to go. Why? Jesus is coming. Why waste your time?
Don't waste your time.
So Bob wasted a full ride to college.
Because Jesus was coming.
Yep. Oh, he's so pissed. It built up, and a couple years ago, he flat told his dad, he goes, I don't want to hear the word Jesus ever again out of your mouth. He goes, if I hear the word Jesus come out of your mouth again, I'm going to be, he goes, you don't even know what's going to happen. Because I've wasted 40 years now waiting for Jesus.
And he still hasn't shown up.
Yeah.
He didn't show up at Y2K. In the field, so why would he? Yeah, why go to college? Why go do anything? Because Jesus is
don't
coming.
Do anything.
Why That's kind of like the classic stock answer.
Yes.
Why do anything? Just sit there and
wait.
Wait in a field. Wait.
Yep.
Don't go to college, and it doesn't work out. I mean, it's just insane. It can be a cult. It can be a bizarre, weird, freaky system, can it? I mean,
oh yeah.
And we were part of it growing up, evangelical. Well, listen, Jeff. Thanks so much for being on
Mindshift
Podcast,
man.
It's been great. Thanks for letting us come into your house, even though we had trains
by.
We had cats coming in on the table. You name it, we had it, man. Thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, man. It's been awesome.
Well, I hope you had a good laugh or two with me and Jeff. As I said last week, it was a really rough and ready recording, We had trains going by. Jeff's house is about 50 feet from the train track. We had cats jumping on the table. We had kids going in and out of the kitchen getting drinks and ice cubes and all the rest of it. But you know what? It didn't matter. Okay, there's a couple of bumps along the way on this recording, but, you know, it's hilarious stuff, isn't it? As again I said before, it's funny, but we're laughing through the tears. Especially what really strikes me is how he talks about Bob. Now he's 51 years old. He's basically the same age as both of us, and he's completely turned his back on evangelicalism, Christianity, like so many of us have. And a lot of it has to do, in fact, all of it really has to do with his upbringing and the way we were raised in such a controlling, as we said in the episode and a little bit last week, almost a cult-like environment, or it really was a very cultish, cult-like environment, wasn't it? The control, the abuse, really, the beatings, the spankings, and what was it all about? What was it for? So that our parents could raise quote unquote godly children. But now so many of us have walked away from it, and we've had to have therapy and counseling and a lot of help over the years, over the decades, to recover from the damage that we suffered psychologically, emotionally, relationally, in terms of sexuality, the way we interact with other people. Everything was defined in terms of proselytization. This is something Valerie and I were talking about, how our just our dealing with other people has changed since we walked away from the church. And that is, we don't view every relationship with every prospective friend as someone that we have to proselytize. We have to evangelize. We have to build a relationship with them for the sake of preaching the gospel. And that's completely transformed the way we live our lives. It's just a huge thing. Deconstruction takes a long, long time. And in fact, these very topics are what we're going to be getting into with both Chris Stroop and David Hayward, the Naked Pastor, coming up in just a few weeks here. First with Chris and then David Hayward after that, looking at their own stories in evangelicalism and how they've deconstructed and now are helping other people to kind of fight the system, to come out of it and to get emotionally, psychologically, sexually healthy. It is a huge thing. And this is something that I also talked about with Andrew Jasko a few weeks ago as well, in terms of the damage that evangelicalism has done to people and what can be done now. So if you missed that episode with Andrew Jasko, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that as well. All right, so thanks for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Clint Haycock. Don't forget our podcast coming up on the 16th of September. If you cannot make it, you still have time to send us your questions and topics, and the best one will win a prize. And then that episode will be coming out probably in maybe two, maybe even three episodes, probably sometime in October. So look out for that coming up in the next few months. So thank you for joining me and Jeff Judd this week and last week as we talked about growing up evangelical, how you cannot make this shit up. Don't forget next week we've got Chris Stroop and the week after that part two, followed by David Hayward and some great content as well headed your way right here on Mindshift Podcasts.